Fair trade and development advocates are warning that 30 years of progress could be wiped away by the COVID-19 pandemic as the global economy sinks into recession and aid budgets are slashed. In a briefing today, Australian business and NGO leaders will be told that poorer countries are struggling to raise the funds they need to combat the pandemic, as well as pay for their economic recovery plans. Renowned economist Jeffrey Sachs will be giving that briefing. He's advised three UN Secretaries General and he's currently working as the chair of a special COVID-19 commission set up by the medical journal The Lancet. Jeffrey Sachs, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Jeffrey Sachs, tell us about this COVID-19 commission set up by the medical journal The Lancet. What's the aim of this commission you're overseeing?
The aim is to help pull together the critical information for governments and civil society to play the best role possible in suppressing this terrible pandemic. There is a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of confusion. There are many governments that are unwilling or unable to address the pandemic adequately, and the Commission is aiming to do everything that we can as a group of global leaders to bring together the relevant information on the public health measures needed, the vaccine development challenges and how to meet them fairly and scientifically, the humanitarian crises that you mentioned in the introduction that are extremely serious, growing hunger and extreme poverty in many low-income countries, the overhang of debt that will be burdening countries and governments for years to come, and the question of how to build back. How are we going to recover? Because we're going to have a concerted global cooperative effort for that as well.
How to recover in an inclusive way, in a fair way, and in a sustainable way. That's the key words, I think, aren't they? What is the key to that? Because as you watch on, it's very easy to see the gap emerging between the richer and less developed countries in this virus. I mean, on the surface of it, wealthy nations like the US, Britain, Spain, and France, they've been some of the worst hit. But the economic impact is a completely different matter, isn't it?
Everything about this pandemic is unequal and unjust. Within our countries, in the United States, for example, every day brings more evidence about how it is people of color and lower income people who are getting hammered by this mass unemployment, mass bankruptcies, mass evictions, and the richest people are getting phenomenally richer. So the stock market is soaring and the real economy is collapsing. The people with the good jobs and good incomes are working from home. And the people who have frontline jobs in shops or as guards or in office services are getting unemployed. And this is within the rich country. Then you consider what's happening in poor countries that have lost remittance income, export earnings, tourist earnings. It's dire. We don't really know right now, day to day, month to month even, the actual situation. But all logic says that the social crises in the poor countries are surely building to really horrible proportions.
And that's where we're looking to, the social crises and the long-term unemployment and the homelessness, as you say, through mass evictions. But there's a health crisis even before they get there that is also impacting more heavily on the poor, isn't it? I mean, we can see that in your country, in the US in particular, where those who, have either no health insurance or no health coverage or have poor health outcomes anyway, even before the pandemic hit, those who are affected by poverty are more vulnerable to this in a health situation anyway, aren't they?
Well, we are so happy that you have some rationality in government in Australia that you've been able to keep the virus either suppressed or when outbreaks have come, governments have acted with some alarm and taken measures to bring the cases down again. We have madness in this country. President Trump is not only incompetent, he is malevolent. So he and his cronies have presided, if I could call it that, over 175,000 deaths to date. And the deaths continue to rise, and the irrationality in the United States, I can only convey it to you, it's unbelievable. We have no coherent leadership. We have a president who is, it's really not even for polite language, but he is the worst that we have ever had. And we have parts of society that just don't get it and are not instructed to get it. So there was a mass motorcycle rally recently of a couple hundred thousand or more visitors who are now spreading out all over the country and spreading more of the disease. It's a kind of craziness in this country. We're not alone in this. Brazil, Mexico, other populist leaders have let this get so out of control. But of course, who suffers especially? It is the poor and those who cannot defend themselves against this kind of madness. Then, unfortunately, we have Rupert Murdoch's media on top of it. I don't think I'm speaking to Murdoch media right now, but Fox News has just told lies from the beginning of the epidemic, and it's another horror in this country.
So what's the impact of all of this as we look forward? You're meeting today with three of Australia's leading fair trade and sustainability organisations. The concern is that COVID-19 threatens to erode, 30 years of progress on globally agreed sustainable development goals. That's a long-range concern. But it's not surprising that countries start withdrawing from the global stage in the midst of a pandemic like this and prioritising their own citizens. I know that's a great concern to you, and it's actually counterintuitive in terms of how we fight against this.
Well, we need our international institutions more than ever. So we need the UN system, which also includes the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The International Monetary Fund is essentially the global lender of last resort, and it has made emergency loans, some of them up to 10 years at zero interest, to low-income countries. 80 so far have qualified. And I believe that we need to use these systems even more aggressively to say to a finance minister in a poor country right now, do not let the sharp budget constriction be the barrier for you mobilizing the protective equipment, the testing, the emergency social support to fight hunger, the money that you need to keep other immunization programs going and so forth. The IMF needs to be in the front line to say we can provide the same emergency financing that rich country governments like Australia or the United States or UK or European Union can do, especially because our countries are backed by central banks with credible currencies that can enable our governments to borrow and to ensure that there's liquidity for basic services. But for poor countries, there is no opportunity for that. So they need international help. They need convertible currencies. And the key, I believe, is not going one by one appealing for aid right now. We know how hard that is anyway. I've spent a lifetime just begging in that way. But what we need is a system. And I believe that the International Monetary Fund needs to be at the center of that system. And our finance ministers, your finance minister, my treasury secretary and others need to empower the IMF to play that urgent role in this unprecedented crisis.
Jeffrey Sachs, thank you very much for joining us again on Breakfast.
Pleasure to be with you always. Thanks.
Jeffrey Sachs is the director of the Center for Sustainable Development at Columbia University. He's chairing a special COVID-19 commission set up by the medical journal, The Lancet.